ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं वीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोप कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। ओम ज्ञानतिमिरंदस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामयं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं। वंदेहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। सप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
Of the 8th chapter, the story of Kundana. I will just briefly go through the verses which we have discussed, and then we'll complete this chapter and go to the next chapter. So Pingala, she speaks her realizations from the 30th verse, from the 30th till the 42nd verse. These were the 13 verses spoken by Pingala. So the 30th to 34th verse, Pingala actually repents for her activities. Aho me moha vitatim pashyata avijitatmanaha yakantat asatakamam kamaye yena balisha. she says that I was greatly illusioned. I'm such a great fool that I was looking for insignificant men in order to get lusty pleasure from them. And then the 31st verse, she compares the she compares the Supreme Lord with the insignificant lovers she was seeking. So 31st verse, she contrasts the Supreme Lord with her insignificant lovers. It's a very beautiful verse. Santam samipe ramanam rati pradam vitta pradam nityam imam vihaya akamadam dukkha bayadi shoka moha pradam tuchya aham bhajegya. So she says that the Supreme Lord is very near to me, and he is also very dear to me. But I gave up the association of Supreme Lord, I gave the service of Supreme Lord, who was ready to offer me eternal happiness and eternal prosperity. Vitta pradam nityam imam vihaya. Vitta means prosperity or wealth. So I gave up the company of the service of the Supreme Lord, was ready to give eternal wealth and eternal prosperity and eternal happiness. And instead I was actually tucham. Instead I was looking for, I was actually going after insignificant men, and who only actually give distress and fear and illusion. Moha pradam tucham aham bhajegya. And then the 32nd verse, she is further lamenting. She says that she gives a reason for why we should not desire pleasure from people other than Krishna. She is giving the reason why we should not desire. But she also mentioned in the previous verse that they give only distress, etc. But she gives another reason. Here she says that actually those people themselves are pitiable because they themselves are looking for pleasure. Here she is saying that I have actually uselessly tortured my soul. Aho mayatma paritapito vrita, by actually taking this abominable occupation. And sraina narat yartha trisho, because they themselves are actually hungry for pleasure. Because of that, they themselves are pitiable, so how can they actually hope to give me pleasure? Kritena vittam ratim atma nechati. I hope to get money and sex pleasure from them. And then in the 33rd verse, she actually talks about the nature of the material body. Because she is basically looking, she was seeking pleasure on the bodily platform. But here she is giving a very graphic description of the material body. The material body is like a house. The bones forming my spine, ribs, arms and legs are like the beams, cross beams and pillars of the house. And the material body is simply filled with urine and stool and foul substances. And the 9 doors leading into the body are constantly excreting foul substances. So therefore, who is that foolish person apart from me who would actually try to get pleasure from this body? And then in the 34th verse, she again says that actually in this city of Videha, I am the only foolish person. Videhanam purehi yasmin aham ekaiva. Indeed, I am the really foolish person in the city of Videha, because yanyam ichyanti asad yasmat atmadat kama machyuta. The Supreme Lord was ready to give his own abode, or he was ready to give himself, atmadat, to me, but I neglected the Supreme Lord. Instead I desired to enjoy sense gratification with many men. Asad yasmat. So then, having repented, so if a person simply repents, only if a person is repenting, then one can go into like inferiority complex. But having repented, now she is actually focusing on serving the Lord. In 2 verses, 35 and 36, she is focusing on serving the Lord. So she says that Suhrut Preshtatamo Nata Atma Chayam Sharirina. Sukrit Preshatama means that the Supreme Lord is actually the most dear to a living entity. He is the actually dearmost well-wisher of living, well-wisher of anybody who has got a material body. Tam Vikriyatmanaivaham Rame Anena Yata Rama. I hope to purchase the Supreme Lord by my self-surrender. And then I hope to enjoy with the Lord, just like Lakshmi Devi is actually enjoying with the Lord. So she is actually focusing on service to the Lord. We discussed this verse also previously. I want to read it. And then the 36th verse, she says that, she again says that actually in contrast to the Supreme Lord, how much the mundane lovers can actually give satisfaction to the people. So here she again says, Kiyat priyam te vyabhajan kama ye kamadanara adi antavanta bariyaya. Whatever the mundane lovers, whatever objects which they can provide to their wives, that has a beginning and end. Adi antavanta. Even the demigods, devava kala vidruta, even the demigods also cannot actually satisfy their wives with some objects which will be actually permanent. It will all be actually destroyed in due course of time. Kala vidruta. Therefore, how much actual pleasure and happiness could any of them ever give to their wives? And then after that, after focusing on the service of the Lord, and then from 37th to 40th verse, in 4 verses, the mood of she is speaking in these verses is that she is actually seeing the material adversity as a great fortune. Where she is in adverse condition, in the sense that she did not get any customer on that day. So that is like adversity for her, but she is seeing that as a great fortune. So here she says that Noonam me Bhagavan Preetu Vishnu Kenapi Karmana Nirvedoyam Durashaya Yanme Jata Sukavaha. So she is saying that Durashaya, that means I had a stubborn desire to enjoy material sense gratification. But because the Lord has, Lord must have been pleased with me, I must have performed some activity by which I must have pleased the Lord. So because the Lord was pleased with me, He has actually inspired me with great renunciation. Nirvedo means He has given me this mood of detachment from sense gratification. So we actually discussed, if you remember, that we talked about difference between frustration and detachment. Does anybody remember, like, what is frustration and what is detachment? In frustration, a person thinks that, he simply thinks, I didn't get that enjoyment. But when a person is detached, a person thinks that, I don't want enjoyment. When a materialist is frustrated, he feels that, why didn't I get that enjoyment? But when a devotee is actually, when a sadhaka, sometimes because of conditioning, he tries to enjoy, and then when he gets frustrated, he thinks that, like, why did I try to enjoy? Why did I try to enjoy? So, and we talked about response to frustration in mode of ignorance, passion. Does anybody remember? Like, how does a person respond in mode of ignorance? A person, like, takes intoxication or violence. In the mode of passion,
attachment.
It leads to greater attachment. And mode of goodness?
Detachment.
And the transcendental platform?
Transfiguration.
Not only detachment, but he actually turns to Krishna service. So here, Pingala is, she is not simply getting detached, but she is actually looking for, looking towards Krishna. So, and then in the 38th verse, she says that Maivam Syur Manda Bhagyaya Klesha Nirveda Hetavaha Yenanu Bandham Nirhritya Purusha Shamam Richati. So Maivam Syur Manda Bhagyaya. She says that Manda Bhagya means one who is actually on the one who is a woman who is actually unfortunate, someone who is unfortunate. She says that the suffering of an unfortunate woman, it could not be the cause of detachment. Suppose if a person is actually suffering, but if that person is unfortunate, that suffering will not lead to detachment. So only a person who is actually fortunate, that suffering or frustration leads to detachment. And so she is feeling herself to be very fortunate and not unfortunate. Basically, the theme of this verse is that she is feeling that actually I am very fortunate, so that is why I have developed this mood of detachment. And when a person develops detachment, what does a person achieve? Yena anubandham nirhritya purusha shamam richyati. Such a person actually attains, gives a bondage, anubandham nirhritya, and he actually attains peace, shamam richyati. So, just like for example, it's like there is a difference between frustration of desire versus domination by desire. So when a person is like frustrated with a desire, then he may take intoxication or maybe to greater attachment, etc. But when a person is dominated by desire, just like for example, an alcoholic who is addicted to alcohol, and suddenly in the middle of the night he is actually looking for some bar, and then he's frantically looking where I can get alcohol. And then after searching for few hours, he doesn't get actually any place where he can get alcohol. And then he starts thinking, oh, so many people are actually sleeping peacefully. Why am I being addicted to this alcohol? I'm actually being dominated by this desire, so therefore I'm frantically looking for alcohol. Then when he actually when he starts thinking about that, then when he understands that how he has been completely dominated by the desire, how the desire has made him a slave, then suddenly that craving for the drink disappears from his mind. And when it disappears from his mind, he becomes peaceful. Just like suppose a person is suffering from a back pain, and when it disappears, and he becomes very peaceful. So similarly, sometimes when a person is having a very intense desire, and when it is not fulfilled, that domination by desire, that can bring about detachment. That can bring about detachment. So even there is a verse in the 7th canto, and Narada Muni speaking to the Yudhishthira Maharaj about Varnashram Dharma. He says that sometimes when there is a fire, if you put a huge quantity of fuel, there is a chance that it may get extinguished. He uses analogy in terms of sometimes when you try to gratify the desire, when you put a huge quantity of fuel, there is a chance that fuel may get extinguished. Sometimes we see that people who try to gratify intensely, they become a little detached. So when Sanatan Goswami, when he escaped from the jail from Varanasi, and when he comes to actually Jagannath Puri, and then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraces Sanatan Goswami. The past time that Sanatan Goswami was just outside the Chandrasekhar Acharya's house, and Mahaprabhu tells him, "You go and find some Vaishnava, must have come." Then when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraces Sanatan Goswami, he says that Yeta kahi kahe Prabhu shuna Sanatana Krishna bada dayamaya patita pavana. O Sanatan, please hear, Krishna is very merciful upon you, and he is actually deliverer of the fallen souls. And then he says, Maharaurava Haite Toma Karila Udara Kripara Samudra Krishna Gambirapara. So Krishna has delivered you from the hell of Maharaurava. And Krishna is the ocean of mercy, and it is Gambhira Apara, how Krishna acts upon a living entity, how he shows his mercy, that is like very difficult for a person to understand. Gambhira Apara. His activities are very grave. So Prabhupada writes a brilliant purport here. He says that Sanatana Goswami was actually working for Nawab Hussain Shah. So he was actually always inclined with the materialistic people, meat eaters and Muslims. And although he was in intimate touch with them, by Krishna's mercy he came to find such association distasteful. Because even to find that materialistic association distasteful, one needs actually that Krishna's mercy. Like sometimes, when a person is enjoying that association, that means there's something. Sometimes there may be, we may have to associate with people, but the point is that we may be helpless. We may be helpless on a mundane platform. We may have to associate with people who are materialistic. But the point is that are we enjoying that association, or are we actually finding that association distasteful? So when a person is shown mercy by Krishna, then we find that association distasteful. So therefore Sanatana Goswami found that association distasteful, therefore he left them. And then Prabhupada quotes that Tyaktva Turna Masesha Mandalapati Sadatuchava. So Krishna enlightened Sanatana Goswami in such a way that he was able to give up his exalted post as a minister. And therefore Sanatana Goswami decided to retire. So now we will go to the 39th verse. So now Sanatana Goswami in this verse Pingala is expressing her gratitude for frustration. He is expressing her gratitude to the Supreme Lord.
Tenopakrita
Madaya Shirasa Gramya Sangata Tyaktva Durasha Sharanam Vrajami Tam Adishwaram.
With devotion I accept the great benefit that the Lord has bestowed upon me. Having given up my sinful desires for ordinary things gratification, I now take shelter of Him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So here Upakrita means Lord has done a great benefit for me. He has done a great help to me by giving this detachment. And Shirasa Gramya Sangata, like I bow down to the Supreme Lord. Gramya Sangata means ordinary sense gratification. Tyaktva Durasha Sharanam, I take shelter of the Supreme Lord. And Vrajami, in this mood I wander everywhere. Giving up my sinful desires for sense gratification. So we see here that when a person understands that the detachment is indeed favor of the Supreme Lord, so here she is saying two things. Tyaktva Durasham. So one should give up one's previous sinful habits, and then one should also take to the one should seek shelter of the Supreme Lord. So both things should be done. She is doing both the things. Tyaktva Durasha, she is giving up the previous sinful ways of life, and then Sharanam, she is taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. So then the detachment becomes actually complete. Like if a person is addicted to a particular habit, and then when he comes to his senses, then he should make a commitment, I will give up my previous habits and then I will take shelter of the Supreme Lord. So that's what she is doing. So Radhanath Swami Maharaj, when he was meeting with the family members who died in the plane crash, so they were actually crying. So Maharaj said, don't stop your tears, but let every tear you shed be tear of gratitude. So Pingala is also, she is actually crying, she is in the sense, but she is actually expressing her gratitude towards the Supreme Lord. So she is feeling that I have tears because I still have life at material level, and I express gratitude by seeing the life beyond the material level. She is feeling that, oh, I still have, I can still perform devotional service, I have still life at material level. And then she is seeing that how, oh, by serving the Supreme Lord, I can get a better destination, by seeing the life beyond the spiritual level, material level, she is also feeling gratitude. So next verse, she is revealing her plans after taking shelter of the Lord. So what is her plans, or what should a person do after surrendering? Like, how should one's attitude, how should one's lifestyle be? Santushta shraddha datyeta
Santushta shraddha datyeta
Yata labena jivati
Yata labena jivati
Viharam amunai vaham
Viharam amunai vaham
Atmana ramanena vai
Atmana ramanena vai.
I am now completely satisfied and I have full faith in the Lord's mercy. Therefore, I will maintain myself with whatever comes of its own accord. I shall enjoy life with only the Lord, because He is the real source of love and happiness.
So here, she is seeking santushta shraddhada tyedat yata labena jivati. She is seeking material contentment, like contentment on the material level. Whatever yata labena, whatever comes on its own accord, I will accept only that much. Like, on the material level, she is actually trying to have the quality of satisfaction. And then she is saying, Viharam Amunaivaham. I will seek enjoyment only at the spiritual platform. So, material contentment and seeking enjoyment at the spiritual platform. So, these two points are important. So, if you see, faith is actually passive. Faith is there within the heart, and surrender is active. So surrender is an expression of faith, and satisfaction is an expression of surrender. How do you know whether a person is actually surrendered? That he is satisfied. Like, whatever situations Krishna has provided, is satisfied with it. So surrender is an expression of faith, and satisfaction is an expression of surrender. Like, in the period Prabhupada Leelamrita, the second volume, in the initial days in America, so Prabhupada was struggling very hard and he hardly attained any success. But whoever met Srila Prabhupada, whatever they told about Prabhupada was that, they always said, they found Prabhupada to be a very happy man. So, he was not meeting with any, he was meeting with only failure in a situation, but whomever is met Prabhupada, that they found Prabhupada to be a very happy man. So, he was satisfied, they found him to be very satisfied and happy. So, I will complete this chapter and then we will take the questions or comments. And before we go to the next chapter. So faith actually develops into surrender, and that surrender develops into satisfaction. And many times when we talk about satisfaction, we actually we even misunderstand satisfaction to be some to be laziness or passivity. So we have to be satisfied with the results, but not with our endeavors. So enthusiasm should be for our endeavors, but it should not be for the results. We should be enthusiastic to put to increase our endeavor, and we should be satisfied with the results. Usually we become enthusiastic for the fruits of our action, and we are satisfied with whatever endeavors. So satisfaction, so material contentment and spiritual enjoyment and the spiritual platform. I will seek enjoyment on the spiritual platform. That's what she is telling in this verse. Then in the 41st verse, she says that, who else but the Lord can rescue me? She is again coming in that mood. We'll recite together. Samsara kupe patitam vishayair mushite kshanam grastam kalahinatmanam Konyastratum Adishwarah.
The intelligence of the living entity is stolen by the activities of sense gratification, and thus he falls into the dark well of material existence. Within that, he is then seized by the deadly serpent of time. Who else but the Supreme Personality of Godhead could save the poor living entity from such a hopeless condition?
So here she is giving a very graphic description of the material world. Samsara kupe. I have fallen into the well of material existence, and not only I have fallen into this well, but I have become blinded by vishayair mushitekshanam. I have become blinded by material sense objects, and not only I have been blinded, but I am also being devoured by the snake of time, grastam kala ahina atmanam. So in this situation, ko anya, who else but the Supreme Lord can actually can help me to get out of this? Huh. So in that sense, but the similar metaphor also comes elsewhere, where the Supreme Lord is depicted as the person who sends a rope to the person who has fallen into the well, in order to take him out of the person out from the material existence. So next verse. So here in the purport, Hridayananda Maharaj says, one may question who has authorized this lady to reject even such exalted personalities like Brahma, Shiva and other demigods. The answer given here is that if one actually wants to solve the problems of life, then the only solution is to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. So mukti is given only by the Lord. Mukti pradata sarvesham Vishnu Rieva na samshayaha. There is no doubt in that. And then the concluding verse of Pingala, and then there are just two more verses in this chapter. So in this verse, Pingala is saying, when can a jiva become his own protector? Like all of us seek shelter, protection. But when can a person become his own protector? That is only possible when a person is truly detached. When a person is truly detached, then a person can become his own protector. So she is saying this verse. Atmaiva khyatmano gopta nirvidyeta yatakilat apramatta idam pashyet grasam kalahina jagat.
When the living entity sees that the entire universe has been seized by the serpent of time, he becomes sober and sane, and at that time detaches himself from all material sense gratification. In that condition, the living entity is qualified to be his own protector.
When a person understands Atmaiva Atmano Gopta, Atmaiva Atmano Gopta means a person becomes one's own protector. When Nirvidyeta Yada Akilat, Nirvidyeta Yada Akilat, when a person actually becomes, or he says that, like, we can. The translation is from the end of the verse. In the sense, apramatta idam pashyet. Pashyet means sees. When a living entity sees, what does he see? Grastam kala hina jagat. Jagat, this world. This world has been devoured by the serpent of time. Then what is the result of that? He becomes sober. Apramatta means he becomes without material fever, he becomes sober. And then what else does he do? Nirvidyeta yata akilat. He detaches himself from material and attached enjoyment. Then he becomes Atmaiva Atmano Gopta. He is qualified to protect himself from samsara. So Vishnu Chakravartakur says that he adds one more point here. he is putting a question to Pingala. So will you worship the Lord with the idea of getting liberation, with the idea of getting deliverance from, because in the previous verse she had mentioned, like, samsara kupe padidam, I have fallen into the material well. So she is asking, that means like, are you going to worship the Lord in order to just get out of the material world, just to get liberation? So in response, Pingala is saying, actually, she is saying that when a person becomes truly detached, then he can easily protect himself. He becomes his own protector. When a person becomes truly detached, a person becomes his own protector. So I am not going to worship the Lord just to get liberation, because I have become truly detached, so therefore I can become my own protector. I am going to worship the Lord not to get liberation, I am going to worship the Lord in order to love the Supreme Lord. As Gaurgopal Rao mentioned, that devotees worship the Lord for service, they want to render service, they don't seek peace. So in this verse, she is saying that I am going to, I can become my own protector. The sense I can get liberation when I become truly detached by seeing the how the whole world is actually devoured by time. I am seeking the Lord in order to I worship the Lord with only for actually getting love for the Lord. So that is the mood, her mood in this particular verse. So in that sense, like only when we are convinced that this world, this material world is a dreadful place, then we can actually hold on to the rescuing hope of the Lord. So to the extent we hold on firmly to the Lord's protection, to the extent we become our own protectors. So now the last two verses are spoken by again the Brahmana, Avadhuta. He is actually summarizing, he is essentially telling the lesson from this verse. Shri Brahmana Vuvacha Evam Yavasitamatir Durasham Kanta Tarshajam Chitvo Pashama Mastaya Shayam Upavivesha.
The Avadhuta says, thus her mind completely made up, Pingala cut off all the her sinful desires to enjoy sex pleasures with lovers, and she became situated in perfect peace. Then she sat down on her bed.
So with determined mind, Vyavasita Matir, Vyavasa Yatmika Muddhi, with determined mind, what did she do? Chitva, she cut off. What did she cut off? Durasham Kanta Darshadam. Durasham, all her sinful desires arising from Kanta Tarshajam, arising from thirst for lovers. And then what did she do? Shayam Upavivesha. Upashamam Astaya. She became situated in perfect peace. When she gave up the material desires, she became completely peaceful. And then she actually lay down on her bed. So in the sense, if we see, the story in one sense ends in a, it may appear to be like an anti-climax. She just peacefully went to sleep. She just peacefully went to sleep. Shayam Upavivesha. But actually if we see, just like for a customer, for a shopkeeper, if he does not get any single customer during the day, he cannot get sleep in the night. So similarly for a prostitute, if she does not get a customer, she cannot get sleep. But the fact that she is actually sleeping peacefully, that shows that she has become truly detached. Her detachment is for true, is for real. So some more verses Prabhupada write, there is a verse in the second canto and the third canto which describes that who gets sound sleep and who does not get sound sleep. The second canto, when Lord Brahma is describing about the incarnations of the Lord, second canto, 7th chapter, when he describes about the Krishna incarnation, so there he says that the Vrajavasis, because they are working hard during the daytime for serving the Lord, in the night time they have a very sound sleep. Agni apritam nishishayanam atishramena lokam vikuntam upaneshati gokulam sma. That all the inhabitants of Vrindavan who are busy working during daytime and sleeping soundly at night because of their hard labor in the day, Lord awarded promotion to the highest planet in the spiritual sky. is talking about how the devotees get a sound sleep. In fact, it is said, when a person is in deep sleep, that is actually equivalent to liberated state. A person gets a glimpse of the pleasure which a person experiences at the stage of liberation during deep sleep. So, to the extent a person has, like, if you read the Kapila Dev's section in the third canto, Kapila Dev's instruction to Devahuti, so he says that one of the symptoms of intelligence is what? Sleep. He mentions one of the symptoms of intelligence is sleep. Because to the extent we have sound sleep, not like the dreamy sleep. Like there are four stages. One is actually Jagruti, another Swapna, dream. Sushupti is deep sleep. And fourth is actually Turiya, when a person is actually in the spiritual platform. So when a person, to the extent a person has deep sleep, to that extent a person's brain will also work nicely. Intelligence will work nicely. So, of course, here Prabhupada is saying that one should work hard during the daytime so that as soon as you go to sleep, you will get asleep. And then in the third canto, 9th chapter, in Brahmaji's prayers, he describes the exactly opposite condition of who does not get proper sleep. So he says here, Akhni aprutartha karana nishi nishayana nana manorata diya kshana bhagna nidra. Non-devotees engage the senses in very troublesome and extensive work, and they suffer insomnia at night because their intelligence constantly breaks their sleep with various mental speculations, and they are frustrated in all their various plans by supernatural power. Even great sages, if they are against your transcendental topics, must rotate in this material world. So here, Brahmaji is saying that those who engage the senses in very troublesome and extensive work, they suffer insomnia at night because their intelligence is actually is absorbed in various mental speculations. So now the last verse. Ashahi paramam dukkam nairashyam paramam sukam yata sanchitya kantasham sukam sushvapa pingala.
Material desire is undoubtedly the cause of the greatest unhappiness, and freedom from such desire is the cause of greatest happiness. Therefore, completely cutting off her desire to enjoy so-called lovers, Pingala very happily went to sleep.
So, ashahi paramam dukkha, material desire is the source of distress, nairashyam paramam sukham. Freedom from desire is actually source of happiness. And therefore, when a person completely cuts off such a desire, a person actually can sleep peacefully. Sukham sushvapa pingala. Of course, there are in the 10th canto, when Krishna goes to Mathura, Vrajavasis and other Nanda Maharaj and other Vrajavasis, they accompany Krishna. And the first day in Mathura, Krishna actually breaks that sacrificial bow. So on that day night, it is described, two people were having sleepless nights, and another two people were actually sleeping nicely. Does anybody know? Like, who are sleepless and who are actually having sound sleep? Kamsa was having sleepless night. Because he was fearful of Krishna. Nanda Maharaj was also actually sleepless because he was feeling that out of concern for Krishna, and comes out of fear for Krishna, he was sleepless. And who was sleeping peacefully? Krishna and Balram. They were actually sleeping peacefully. So, and so, yes. One more, this one. I wanted to actually refer this Pingala story from Mahabharata, Shanti Parva. I couldn't get time. But we will just, go through one more small section from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Mahaprabhu in the mood of Pingala. If you remember, I had told I think last class that where does the Pingala story for the first time appear in Srimad Bhagavatam? In the 10th canto. When in the Brahmar Gita section, when the Uddhava goes to meet the gopis of Vrindavan, the gopis were actually in the mood of Pingala. Thinking that actually Pingala, they were remembering Pingala that we should give up all the material desires, then we'll achieve peace. And then they felt that, but in the case of Pingala, she gave up her desires for materialistic people. She didn't give up the desire for Krishna. So how can we give up our desire for Krishna? But first time they remembered Pingala in that manner. So, because if you see Mahaprabhu's pastimes, especially in the Antya Leela, the last 6-7 chapters, Mahaprabhu is also in the mood of the gopis of Vrindavan. So, Mahaprabhu also lamented in the way, and when he lamented, agitation and ecstasy awoke in his mind, and he became very restless, and all the transcendental ecstasies appeared in him. He was anxious, he was lamenting, he was eager and fearful, determined, etc. The aggregate of all these excesses once awoke a statement by Srimati Radharani in the mind of Bilwa Mangal Thakur. In the same ecstatic mood, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu now recited that particular verse, which was actually recited by Bilwa Mangal Thakur. And on the strength of madness, he described its meaning, which is unknown to people in general. So Mahaprabhu said, "Alas, what shall I do? To whom shall I speak? Let whatever I have done in hopes of meeting Krishna be finished now. Please say something auspicious, but do not speak about Krishna. Alas, Krishna is lying within me in my heart like Cupid. Therefore, how can I possibly give up talking of him? I cannot forget Krishna, whose smile is sweeter than sweetness itself, and it gives pleasure to my mind and eyes. Alas, my great thirst for Krishna is increasing moment by moment. The anxiety caused by separation from Krishna has made me impatient, and I can think of no way to meet him." So in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remembered the words of Pingala. Suddenly Mahaprabhu became calm. He was in the mood of the gopis, separation from Krishna. Gopis wanted to forget Krishna, but they were not able to forget Krishna. And at that time, the words spoken by Pingala, that actually came into his mind. And that aroused an ecstasy that moved him to speak. Then he explained the meaning of the verse. So, Mahaprabhu said, "If I give up hope of meeting Krishna, I shall then be happy." Pingala gave up the hope of all the lovers and then she became happy. Remembering that, Mahaprabhu is feeling that, if I give up the hope for actually Krishna, then I will be happy. So therefore, let us stop this most inglorious discussion of Krishna. It would be better for us to talk of glorious topics and forget him. And then, when Mahaprabhu was speaking this way, Srimati Radharani suddenly remembered Krishna. And in fact, Krishna appeared within her heart, and Srimati Radharani told her friends, because Mahaprabhu is speaking in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani told her friends, "Actually, the person I want to forget is lying in my heart." And then she said, "The Cupid who has conquered the whole world and entered my heart is my greatest enemy, for he does not allow me to forget him. And the great eagerness conquered all the other soldiers of ecstasy, and an uncontrollable desire arose in the kingdom of Srimati Radharani's mind. And greatly unhappy, she then chastised her own mind. If I do not think of Krishna, my impoverished mind will die within a moment like a fish out of water. But when I see Krishna's sweetly smiling face, my mind and eyes are so pleased that my desire for him redoubles." But these are all were highly esoteric pastimes, you simply have to worship. So as one devotee, I read a beautiful statement. He said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in his highest state of self-introspection. So when we try to introspect, we try to introspect our desires and motivations, our conditionings, and we try to understand our nature. What is my actual nature? Should I do this service? Should I do that service? Or like, am I getting pleasure out of this activity? We try, that's like, by introspection we try to understand. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in his state of self-introspection, because he is trying to understand his own significance. What is that verse? Kidrusho Chaitanya Charitamrita, 4th or 5th verse. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come in order, the internal reasons are, what are the three internal reasons?
To understand the glories of Radha's love. And what is it that attracts, what about him is attracting Radharani?
To understand his own qualities, which is actually attracting, by which the other devotees are getting attracted, Srimati Radharani is getting attracted, about himself. And as you mentioned, to understand the nature of Srimati Radharani's love, to understand the glories of her love. And third is?
What does she feel?
Yeah, the happiness which she feels by serving me. So one is understanding the nature of her love, and third is like to experience the happiness which she feels. So Mahaprabhu is actually Krishna in his state of self-introspection. So I'll stop here before we take the next chapter. Anybody has any questions, comments?
We are talking about the detachment. If we compare the detachment of Pingala with the Hatha Yogi, Hatha Yogi is also having a detachment, but he has an ego. Whereas the Pingala here, because she was having an ego, she is beautiful. That's why she was speculating about the customers and plans. But when she didn't get the customers, and she had her ego of being beautiful was smashed totally, then she started on the detachment. The process started on the reverse way. Instead of going for the ego, she started giving up the ego also. The detachment of the material desires, all right. But the ego was also was given in the process. And the ego was coming back.
Beautiful is one thing. But essentially, she was seeking enjoyment on the material platform.
Yes.
Material desire, and she became frustrated. She couldn't actually get any enjoyment, and by Krishna's mercy, she had the detachment. Because
now, process of detachment, the ego is also
her ego is completely purified. That is why she is seeking.
City of Videha. So Videha is the name of some place, or it's a
City of she is a prostitute in the city of Videha.
So Videha has some other name of
City of Mithila. Videha is Mithila, no?
Our body is also called Videha, like that.
That is also, I think, one meaning is there. Videha, our body is also, I remember reading somewhere. But here it means that particular Mithila city.
Generally, after realizing so much, a person or a living entity becomes active. How is it that Pingala will sleep?
A person becomes
very active, he wants to perform something, you know, some austerity, meditation, something. Do we understand that Brahmana says she will sleep?
No, in the sense, she got a sound sleep because she became freed from material disease. she wants to, her desire to actively worship Krishna, that is also expressed in those verses. It's also expressed in those verses. Because she was, that it's not that she doesn't want to do anything, that she has expressed that. But she is saying that now that the whole night has passed, and then despite not getting any customer, she is having a sound sleep. That means like she has become truly detached from those material desires. So the lesson from this verse is, this thing is like, you become freed from the material desires, then you become, get happiness. Nirashir mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya adhyatma chevatasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasya vigata chivara. Nirashir nirmamo bhutva. So there Krishna talks about similar thing, in the sense. In particular, that verse, what Krishna is saying is that one should become freed from mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Mayi sanyasya karmani sanyas adhyatma chetasa. Sanyas adhyatma chetasa means he is talking about one should become freed from the mode of goodness. Nirashi mode of passion. Nirashi nirvamo bhutva. No, Nirashi Nirvamo, he refers to mode of passion. In mode of passion, a person is having lot of material desires. Lobha Prabhruti Raramba Karmanam Ashamaspraha. The 14th chapter talks about mode of passion. Mode of passion is characterized by a lot of desires for sense gratification. So Krishna says Nirashi Nirvamo Bhutva means giving up the mode of passion. And Yudhyasva Vigata Jvara, free from lethargy. Lethargy is a sign of ignorance. Free from lethargy, it's like he's talking about mode of ignorance. And then the first line, mayi sanyasya karmani, mayi sarvani karmani sanyas adhyatma chetasa. Sanyasya means giving up the even the attachment towards that activity. He talks about actually in adhyatma chetasa, in transcendental consciousness. He talks about even the giving up the mode of goodness.
And one more
clarification, like 48th verse
Santushta,
similar
to 12th chapter,
Santushta Satatam. Yeah, in the sense, yeah. Santushta Satatam qualification, sad, being satisfied.
So, only the question is for the satisfaction. Suppose asking about some practical situation, suppose we are getting promotion in office, should we just satisfy with no, but I will not accept promotion, I will not accept higher position because I am happy with whatever I have, because that is considered as being materially not very applaudable or laudable in the holistic circle.
It's not like that. The sense, like the principle is like whatever is favorable for the service of Krishna, we accept it. Whatever is unfavorable, we reject it. Even in the case of these qualities, satisfaction, in this situation, if it is actually favorable for me to accept, each of these different qualities, like satisfaction, or greed, or tolerance, or ahimsa, these qualities have to be accepted in a way, in the sense, like in some situation, one quality is favorable, some situation, another quality is unfavorable. The always the key, this thing is like anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjita. If it can help us to better serve Krishna, why not accept? If you feel that if it is going to distract, or if it is, then we may reject. It depends on person to person. You can't make a... So yeah, something which is favorable for a person, it may be unfavorable for another person. Something which is a... Like for example, as mentioned, Narada Muni and Prachana Barishad. So Lord told Narada Muni that in this lifetime you will not be able to see me again because you are still not freed from the mode of goodness. You have not been purified of the mode of goodness. Narada Muni was attached to the peaceful atmosphere of living in the forest. So for Narada Muni, living in the peaceful atmosphere of forest, it was like a unfavorable for increasing a surrender to the Lord. The Lord wanted him to be a preacher. So for Narada Muni, staying in the forest was actually unfavorable for him. So Lord expressed that. But for Prachina Barishad, Narada Muni told Prachina Barishad in the second, when he tells the second allegorical story, 4th canto, 29th chapter, he is speaking the second allegorical story, although Prachina Barishad has become a devotee, he is speaking the second allegorical story so that Prachina Barishad gets the impetus to get out of the, go out of the palace and go to the forest and perform austerities. So for him, actually, staying in the palace is actually unfavorable for him, for increasing his surrender to the Lord. So Narada Muni inspired him to actually go to the forest and take full shelter of the Lord. But for himself, but for Narada Muni himself, like, he had to actually, what is favorable for him is actually meeting different people and giving Krishna consciousness. The sense, like, essential principle is anukulyasa sankalpa pratikulyasa varjasa.
Ambarish
Maharaj section, that analogy is given.
Atmana Ramani na way. The Atmana is considered as supreme. In the next 2-3 verses, the Atmana is living in this.
Yeah, in the sense, Atma can refer to the Supreme Lord also. It can also refer to the living. Atma can refer to the body, mind, intelligence.
In Gita, that verse is Atma.
Banduratma atmanastasya yenatmaiva atmanajitah.
Atmaiva
khyatmano bandur.
Atmaiva
ripuratmana. Atma can refer to different.
In this the story of Pingala, in one way it is universal, like every living entity is like Pingala, looking for happiness, love elsewhere. But in the specific of it, how do you relate? In the sense that the specific is that she is actually looking for love in her profession. And that is why when she's frustrated, she realizes that there's only one person from where she can. But what, I mean, because she has that notion of looking for love. But what about others?
Yeah, as I mentioned, I think we talked about the principle of Varnashram. In the sense. See, love is only towards Krishna. But with other people, duty. We have to... On a practical level, it does not mean that one doesn't get married or one doesn't do. One has to be situated in an ashram. One has to be either Brahmachari ashram or Brahmastha ashram. One has to be situated in the material, this one. But just because a person is situated in an ashram, it doesn't mean that he is actually loving that person. He has to perform the duty towards that person, but he cannot. We use affection as a tool to actually perform our duty. But love is only towards the Supreme Lord. We cannot expect that, this person will satisfy my actually dormant propensity for love. We want to love and to be loved. And this propensity can be actually fulfilled only with respect to Krishna. When we try to seek satisfaction with some other living entity, on a bodily platform without Krishna in the center, then we will lead into frustration. But on a practical level, we have to be situated in a, we have to perform sadhana bhakti and as far as possible, we practice the varnashram dharma. That's what it means. That, like, the point is that, like, thinking that this person will give me happiness, or this object will give me happiness, he will satisfy my love, so that is something illusion.
This
regarding that giving protection, there is a one that is detached, one can protect his but another. And it also said that by performing one's dharma properly, one is protected. So how do we relate these two together?
By performing one's dharma, one is protected. Yeah, in the sense, see, different verses, they emphasize different things. So when you act according to the, you perform your dharma according to superior instructions, you also receive protection. But here it is talking about being detached on the material platform. When a person is truly detached, because in order to, in one sense, if the definition of tapasya is, tapasya means to perform one's dharma in all situations. In order to perform tapasya, one has to be detached from what he feels like doing and what he doesn't feel like doing. He has to perform that which is his dharma. Dharma on the material platform, dharma on the spiritual platform is devotional service, dharma on the material platform is our duties in this world, according to Varnashram. So, a person receives certain protection also when you perform our dharma. But ultimately, in the sense, the real protection is by Krishna. When performing dharma on the material platform, we are trying to follow Krishna's system, then you only get certain protection. This also.
I'm studying about the Ashari Paramount system. I think it's a Bijavakya of Koti.
Bijavakya?
Buddhi, sir.
They
consider that Lord Buddha always says this.
So we'll take just a few minutes break. Somebody wants to. Other devotees, multiple choice. You did the six chapters. You started with 6 chapters.
Ten questions are done. You want 15 more.
You can make
30-35.
Do that.
I will
submit. Yeah,
you
can.
I don't miss my exams and classes, but I want to. I want to reinstate that.
Okay.
How can I
simplify myself? I'll send you by email. For some other questions, I just wrote here only. But I'll send you by email.
You can write it at home study?
At home you can write it and then you can send it. So, one more thing. We want to. Like for the same Uddhav Gita course, I never switched on this. Okay. It's the same Uddhav Gita course. We want to put in the online course also. For online course, like we want devotees to set multiple choice questions for each chapter. Multiple choice questions. So I want some volunteers who will have the time at home, who can set multiple choice questions and type it and then send it to me. Whoever has the time, we can take say one chapter or half the chapter. Say for one chapter, we can have say maybe 35 questions or 40 multiple choice questions, 35-40. So just the multiple choice questions, how I want is that the choices, you know, you must have given the exams, you should not, you should look similar, all the choices, you should confuse the person. Otherwise, sometimes even without reading, your person is, can easily, if the choices are distinct, then you can easily get. So you should confuse the person, and it should be based on the verse and the translation and the purport. Translation and the purport. Even you can even use some word-to-word translation also. You should try to test the understanding of the person. You should try to test whether the person has read the book. Then you should be able to answer. So far, see, we started with the sixth chapter. So sixth chapter, our Devadatt Prabhu is done. So seventh, eighth, so ninth we are starting today. Seventh, eighth, and ninth. So if three devotees can take up these three chapters, maybe different devotees can take up different chapters. Right now, if somebody has the time, who should have the like facility for typing.
So, I'm ready to take
one
after March,
is it
possible in April?
April? Okay.
First April
onward,
I can
volunteer. Anybody else from Mataji's side on the time? Can try?
One chapter.
We can do for eight chapter.
So, you can do eight chapter.
Okay, you do 8 chapter, you can do 7 chapter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will allot you some other chapter later. Yes. Now anybody else can do 9 chapter. So it will also help you to give some impetus to read the book more thoroughly. So Devadatt Prabhu, you will do 6 chapter. So, we'll do 7 chapter, we'll do 8 chapter, somebody can do 9 chapter, you can tell me, right? So, we'll start the 9th chapter. So, this chapter, Avadhut Brahmana concludes his teachings. This chapter is entitled, Detachment from All That is Material. Shri Brahmana Uvacha Parigraho Hi Dukkaya Yadyat Priyatamam Rinam Anantam sukam apnoti tadvidvan yastva kinchana.
He saintly Brahmana said, everyone considers certain things within the material world to be most dear to him, and because of attachment to such things, one eventually becomes miserable. One who understands this gift of material possessiveness and attachment, and thus achieve unlimited happiness.
So in this chapter, 7 gurus are described. The first guru is a kurara bird or a hawk. So the lesson from this bird is, again, it may appear some of the lessons are similar. Basically, the lesson from this bird is like attachment to that which is most dear. Yadyat priyatamam runam. Because of attachment, parigraho, to things most considered most dear, yadyat priyatamam runam, then one becomes miserable, dukkaya. And when a person gives up material desires, akinchana, then such a person is learned, vidwan, and he achieves unlimited happiness, anantam sukham apnoti. So the example which is given is that kurara bird, once a kurara bird or a hawk was holding a piece of meat in its mouth, and at that time a stronger hawk came, and the stronger hawk wanted to snatch this piece of meat, and the stronger hawk actually started attacking this weaker hawk, and the weaker hawk gave up that piece of meat, and then he attained happiness. Essentially, that stronger hawk was interested in the piece of meat. So the weaker hawk, although that piece of meat was very dear to her, but she actually gave up the piece of meat, and whether she attained happiness. That is the lesson described in the first two verses. So third and fourth verse, second guru is the lesson from a child. Name manapa mano, third verse, name manapa mano so na chinta geha putrinam atma krida atma ratir vicharamiha balavat. So here he is actually taking a lesson from a child. The characteristic of a child is, child does not care for honor or dishonor. Child does not worry about house or children. Child is always playing in great happiness. So similarly, self-realized soul also the same characteristics. So when a person is situated on the spiritual platform, he doesn't worry about honor or dishonor. So then the next verse is a similar verse. He talks about two kinds of people. Dvau eva chintaya muktav. There are two kinds of people who are completely free from all anxiety and merged in great happiness. Paramananda apnutav. One is the fool or the ignorant person or a child, and another is gone beyond the three modes. So similar verse comes. The third canto, yascha muda tamo loke, yascha buddhe param gata, tau ibau sukam edete, klishyat antarito janaha. Both the lowest of fools and he who is transcendental to all intelligence enjoy happiness. So Hridayan Maharaj says that even materially alert and ambitious persons are constantly in anxiety from time to time. They are plunged into great misery. And those who are nonsensical, retarded, however live in a fool's paradise. They don't have the anxiety of these materially retarded, ambitious people. But that doesn't mean that they are actually experiencing spiritual happiness. They are just in the material, they are in the mode of ignorance. So their happiness, a fool's peace is like that of a dead stone, whereas a devotee's satisfaction is based on perfect knowledge. So, Abhagat Gauram Guru was given so many times example. One who is well prepared in the exam and one who has not studied anything, both are in complete peace. Those who have studied a little bit, they are actually in anxiety. So, that is like... So, now from the 5th to 10th verse, in 6 verses, he speaks about the next guru. This is from a Kumari or an unmarried girl. So I'll just briefly narrate the story. That once at a home, an unmarried girl was there. The parents had gone out of the home for some other purpose. So the unmarried girl was staying alone at the home. That time a group of guests who had a desire to marry that girl, they had come to that house. And because the girl being a host, she had to actually serve the guests. So she went inside the kitchen and she started beating the husks. She started beating the grains. And she was wearing lot of ornaments and bangles on her hand. So when she started beating the husk, it started making lot of sound because the bangles were actually colliding with each other. And she felt by hearing this sound, these guests will actually misunderstand that we are actually poor people, that we don't have any servants, we have to do the work on our own. They may misunderstand that we are poor people. So thinking like that, she just so that they don't actually misunderstand us, she started removing all the bangles except for two bangles. She just kept two bangles in one hand and she kept two bangles in another hand. And then she continued beating the rice. But again, because two bangles are there, they were colliding with each other. Still they were making some sound. Although it was less than the previous, they were making some sound. And then she felt, oh, still sound is coming. Then she removed one bangle from each hand. And then she continued beating, and then it was no sound. So, it may appear to be an ordinary scene, but this Brahmana is taking a lesson from this. So, I mentioned, the main thing is, from this whole section, we have to cultivate the habit of seeing the world, different events, and taking lesson from those words. So that's why I had mentioned that everyone should try to develop the habit of seeing through the world, learning different lessons from the events and different events of this world. So this seems to be an ordinary event, but the Brahmana is saying the lesson is that one should actually, a jnani or a yogi should avoid the association of other yogis. There are two lessons which are explained, the purport. Basically, essential lesson is avoiding the association of materialistic people. She desired to keep only one bangle in her hand. She removed all the other bangles because that was actually creating so much of sound. So similarly, he says that in the case of a jnani, the nature of a jnani is that they always try to speculate. Nasa Rishir Yasya Matam Na Bindam. If a jnani does not give some opinion which is different from other jnanis, he is not considered a jnani. That is actually the qualification of jnani. In the association of jnanis, each one will be giving different opinions, then they will be bound to be quarrel. And so therefore, for a jnani, it is recommended that they avoid the association of other jnani. They should stay alone. Avoid the association of other jnani. This is the point which is explained for the jnanis. But the same lesson can also be taken for the bhakti yogis. In the case of a bhakti yogi, it is explained that bhakti yogi should not avoid the association of other Vaishnavas. So in the bhakti yogi should avoid the association of non-devotees and not the other Vaishnavas. So Vishnu Chakotakur writes that similarly, the goddess of fortune, I'm directly going to the 10th verse purport. Similarly, the goddess of fortune, Bhakti Devi, decorates herself with the innumerable ornaments of the Vaishnavas who come together to relish the sweet sound of the holy name of the Lord. Because pure Vaishnavas do not intimately associate with non-devotees, it may be said that they reside alone. And thus, they also fulfill the purpose of this verse. In other words, what they are saying is that staying in the association of devotees is equivalent to staying alone. But in the case of the jnanis, staying in the association of the jnanis is not actually, it is different. They have to actually stay alone. But in the case of the devotee, if you are in the association of devotees, it is equivalent to staying alone. Yesterday we were reading in the Leelamrita. Prabhupada says, it's a good quote for, can be a convenient quote for devotees. Prabhupada was saying that eating only prasadam is equivalent to fasting. Prabhupada is telling you. So that means similar point in the sense that if you are staying in the association of devotees, it is equivalent to actually staying alone, avoiding the association of non-devotees. And another beautiful point, so in order to support that, of course, they are quoting a verse from the Kapila Dev section. Naikatmatam me sprihayanti kechin matpada seva birata madiha. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that same point, one should give up the association of those who are not devoted to the Supreme Lord. So Mahaprabhu defined Vaishnava as one Asat Sangatyaga e Vaishnavachar. So if you see that this, when you talk about the association, avoiding the association of non-devotees, we have to understand the broader context in the sense. We may have to associate with people in our workplace, etc., but not become emotionally attached towards them. We should not reveal our mind in confidence to them, or accepting some food which is not offered to the Lord or something. Basically engaging in the six kind of loving exchanges. So that's what it means, association. So that's what we should avoid. Otherwise, we may, on a practical side, we may have to associate with people. Like even if you see that, it is explained in many places. In the case of Kamsa also, Kamsa, after that seventh child was born, when she got, when he got that, when Devaki gave birth to the daughter, the eighth child was born, Devaki gave birth to the daughter actually assumed the form of Durga in the sky. Kamsa actually became pacified, oh my daughter, because Kamsa was a worshipper of Durga and his Kali. And he became pacified and stopped actually torturing Devaki and Vasudevi. Stopped his atrocities. But then, because he was associating with his other ministers who were actually materialistic, again they actually induced him. How can you stop? You must actually kill all the newborn babies. They induced him to actually again start his atrocities. In that sense, Prabhupada writes that his association with other ministers, it actually induced him to again commit more atrocities. Kritavarma, in the Shyamanta Gajwal story, Kritavarma was involved in the conspiracy of killing Satrajit, murdering Satrajit. To explain that Kritavarma is a devotee of the Lord, how did he actually develop that mentality? What is the reason? Because of his long association with Kamsa, although he was a devotee, he got contaminated. So that is the explanation which is given. Parishit Maharaj says in that first canto, Aho vayam danyataman rupana makattamanu grihaniya shila rajyam kulam brahmana kulat brahmana pada shaucha durad visrishnam batagarhya karma. So we are indeed very fortunate, because usually all of you sages would not give, would keep great distance from the royal people. Just like people would go to a distant place to pass stool. In the Vedic culture, the toilet would be like outside the house. There would be a little far away place. So similarly, they are saying that the sages, usually you would actually keep a far distance. Just like a person would go, person's toilet would be at a far distance from the house. Similarly, sages, you would actually keep a far distance from the royalty. But you are on your own, you have come to actually, you have come and you have given your association. Therefore, we are indeed, we are considering ourselves very fortunate. In a sense, we see that the principle of associating with the materialistic people, that is there. Of course, in our, there are so many quotes like that, but in one sense, on a practical level, one thing is that, like, all the materialistic association comes in the form of TV. Comes in the form of TV or internet. See, in one sense, like, we have to keep a very safe distance from that. That we can, we have to be, keep a safe distance from that. So then it means actually following the unduly association. Whatever is required for our professional work, otherwise we have to give a fair distance. So I will not read these verses. Just one more point. The ninth verse has explained that this Brahmana is saying that I learnt all these things not because I am an omniscient super soul. I learnt all these lessons not because I was an omniscient super soul, but I witnessed these activities and then I actually learned these lessons. So he is not simply presenting some theoretical knowledge. He says that I am not an omniscient super soul, but he faithfully and with great humility he learned these lessons in his travels. So that is what is explained. So, then from the 11th verse, 11th to 13th verse, he is talking about the next guru. That is the arrow maker. From arrow maker, he is learning the lesson of fixing the mind. fixing the mind on Krishna, or in general the principle of controlling the mind, or even the principle of absorption. So he saw an arrow maker who was trying to straighten his arrows, and there was a procession of the king which went by. The king passed by. Usually when a king goes, king would go along with a great procession, and there will be like musical sound, and people will be playing music and this one, like in our Gopijanavalla procession, like so much kirtan and music and so. But the arrow maker was so focused, he did not even notice that the king actually passed by, procession passed by. So he is actually trying to learn this lesson. So having perfected the yoga, you can read the translation of the 11th verse. 11th verse translation.
Having perfected the yoga, sitting posture and conquered the breathing process, one should make the mind steady by detachment and the regulated practice of yoga. Thus, one should carefully fix the mind on the single goal of yoga practice.
So basically, vairagya and abhyas, by which one can actually control the mind. So vairagya, detachment and practice. Burjan Prabhu explains this principle in the japa, this one. This answer. We have to be, especially the principle of detachment is important in a sense. One is practicing to focus our mind on hearing the sound vibration. But nearly the mind will go. Sometimes after maybe 10 rounds, we realize that my mind was completely elsewhere only. So then, just by thinking that, 10 rounds last 1 hour I chanted without thinking, without hearing a single word, simply by thinking that, we keep lamenting and the remaining 6 rounds also goes like that. So Gurujan Prabhu says, therefore, even if suppose the 15 rounds have gone without hearing a single syllable, become detached from that. Okay, now you realize that 15 rounds have gone like that. Now become detached from that. Now you concentrate on this mantra, your mind on hearing this particular mantra. So that means, like, especially the principle of detachment is important, because you may commit many mistakes again. So as a one devotee mentioned, like, we may chant say 3 rounds very badly, and then the remaining 13 rounds we chant badly thinking about those 3 rounds. Like, person has died, but the sutta goes for next 13 days. Okay, we have done, okay, we chanted badly some 2-3 rounds, and then thinking about that, we chant the remaining rounds also badly. So especially we have to be detached from, okay, I chanted badly, but now let me concentrate on this particular mala, this particular mantra. So vairagya and abhyas. So Vishnu Chakravarti mentions one more point, that Avadhut Brahmana is recommending Bhakti Mishra Ashtang Yoga, or the eightfold mystic yoga process performed as an offering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the next verse, he says that yasmin mano labdha padam yadetach. When the mind, yasmin means when the mind can be controlled, when it is fixed in the Supreme Lord. Yasmin here refers to, according to Sridhar Swami, one should actually fix, it refers to the Supreme Lord. One should actually fix the mind on the Supreme Lord. Labdha padam yadetach. Then the result is shanai shanair munchati karma renum. Gradually a person becomes freed from the material desires. Sattvena vriddena rajastamascha. By increasing sattva guna, a person can get rid of mode of passion and ignorance. And viduya nirvanam upaiti anindamam. One achieves the transcendental position of nirvana, upaiti anindanam, which is actually freed from the gunas. So I just want to take a little more section, and then we'll take a little at the end, some comments. So, as one article I read, like, to fix the mind, fix it on Krishna. If we take the word fix, fix can mean repair also. To fix the mind, that means like to repair the mind, you have to fix it on Krishna. So that is the in essence. So the 13th verse, it gives that example of that arrow maker. There is one beautiful point in this purport. So he says that, so when one's consciousness is completely fixed on the Lord, one no longer sees duality, internal or external reality. When a person fixes the mind on Krishna, he becomes freed from internal and external disturbances. External disturbances refer to especially the sense objects, the innumerable sense objects, that refers to external disturbances. And internal disturbance refers to our past memories of sense gratification and our future hopes and dreams of sense gratification. So this is something important, because initially our struggle is with actually getting like our avoiding the external sense objects. But after some time, we may not be so much troubled with external sense objects, but our past memories of sense gratification, that may still keep coming. And we may actually have a hope or dreams of some future sense gratification thinking in our mind. So he's saying that when a person fixes the mind on Krishna, one becomes freed from both. So essentially he says that one who is seeing Krishna everywhere categorically rejects both internal and external illusion, and this is called mukti pada, or the status of liberation. So we have to begin with like, at least the external sense control, and then at a certain point we also become free from the internal this one. So basically he says that one should understand that Krishna is the background of everything, and one should not become bewildered with the false conception that there is something that is not Krishna. So now in the now from the 14th and 15th verse, again he gives another lesson from the next guru. He is giving a lesson from the snake. So this is similar to the lesson from that unmarried girl. So here also the lesson is that avoiding the association of materialistic people. But the difference between the Kumari and here is that in the case of a Kumari, especially when we talked about the lesson for a yogi, for a jnani, he should avoid the association of other jnanis, because all the other jnanis are, they would give their own philosophy, they would, that will result into quarrels. So therefore the jnani should avoid the association of other jnanis. But in this particular verse, not only the jnani should avoid the association of other jnanis, here the jnani should avoid the association of other materialistic people. It may not be jnanis, but materialistic people, the jnani should avoid the association of other jnanis also. So that is a lesson here, 14th and 15th verse, the lesson from a snake, but especially this is a lesson in the 14th verse. The 15th verse tells one more point. So here it is explained, ekachari aniketasyat. A jnani should not have a fixed residence, and he should travel constantly, and he should be like a very alert. So aniketa, without fixed residence. So on a devotee, it means like our home, without having a fixed residence means like our home should be that place where actually we seek, where there is service, in that sense. Like home is that place where we seek shelter, comfort. And we should seek comfort in the service of the Lord, in that sense, for a devotee. Apramatto guhashaya. And he should live in a secluded place, and he should behave in such a way that it is not noticed by others. Alakshyamana. and he should speak only sparingly, alpa bhashana, and munir yeko, without companions. So just few points, few important points from the purport, I will just read that. This is important from the second paragraph in the purport. By organizing one's life according to Varnashram system, one can take the first step in self-realization. In other words, one should accept an honest occupation and regulate his sex life either by giving it up entirely as a brahmachari or sannyasi or by living as a married householder. So he is mentioning two things: regulating one's occupation and regulating one's personal life. Without that, there will be chaos and it will be very difficult to make spiritual advancement. So this statement is very important. Regulating one's occupation and regulating one's personal life. Because sometimes we think, oh, some of our, we just like going through a thing, sometimes we try to be artificially on the Anandamaya platform. But the previous, like pranamaya, manomaya, annamaya, that is completely, we eat in all time, we are having occupation which is not according to our nature. Like pranamaya, annamaya, jnanamaya, that is not in proper courses. So we have to perform, like our swadharma on the spiritual platform is devotional service. But our swadharma on the material platform, that also is important. Because when we don't perform our swadharma on the material platform according to Varnashram, then it will result in certain misery. And then what will happen is that in order to get rid of that misery, we will take shelter of Krishna. In that sense, it will actually obstruct our practice of pure devotional service. We will try to take shelter of Krishna for actually getting rid of this misery. So as far as possible, so our personal occupation and personal lifestyle.
Sometimes we don't have like choice most times. So at least doing the best of the bad bargain.
Right? Yeah.
No, but that is like helping us to give some stability in our devotional service. Mm. Is that also fine?
Yeah, in the sense, if you say, in Kali Yuga, we definitely cannot expect a pretty situation. Kali Yuga is an age in which we'll also have to play some roles which is not according to our nature. We may have to, sometimes we may not get a certain job or something. But we have to be honest about that also. I was reading a beautiful question answer section. One devotee asked Maharaj that my occupation involves certain violence to the animals, it involves some research in the medicines. For that we have to test the medicines by torturing certain animals. So what should I do about that? So Maharaj said, yeah, sometimes in material world, especially in Kali Yuga, certain situations are unavoidable. But then he also said one more point which actually struck me deeply. He said, but we should also be honest about whether it is actually unavoidable. Kali Yuga's situation is definitely, certain situation will be unavoidable. But he mentioned that we should also be honest whether it is actually unavoidable. And if it is actually unavoidable, if you are honestly introspecting, then you pray to Krishna and Krishna will actually take care of the sense. So, in the sense, sometimes there may be certain situations, but sometimes a person without having the proper understanding, he may actually willingly try to do something which is not natural for him. At least
that we should try to avoid them. Like sometimes if we take up a particular occupation just not according to our nature, we may get more prosperity also. But something which is according to our nature, we will not get much prosperity. But if we see from a long term point of view, there may be much greater satisfaction. So it is up to the individual actually to choose. But we just tell the principle, it is easy to actually tell the principle, but individual has to choose that which is according to his nature. And definitely when we do something according to our nature, there will be individual satisfaction and we can contribute even to the other people, we can serve the society also in a better manner. We can serve Krishna also in a better manner. And there will be some satisfaction. Otherwise, even the psychologists, they say that what is called as a midlife crisis. Like at a certain point, like people realize that, oh, I try to go into the line which is not completely according to my nature, and then they change the line after spending in a particular field after 15-20 years. So this you can go through this purport, like without regulating one's occupation and personal life, there will be chaos and it will be very difficult to make spiritual advancement. And then he says one more point, the attachments of material society, friendship and love are based on a long previous experience in the material world. They are great obstacles in the path of transcendental understanding, and if one maintains them, spiritual progress will be most difficult. So maintaining the material attachments. So having material attachments is not so much condemned as maintaining the material attachments. So all of us, we have our previous certain friend circle, or certain previous attachments towards maybe different objects. So maintaining that can actually obstruct. So then in the 15th verse, he gives one more lesson from the snake. Another lesson is that snake does not build its own house. Snake actually occupies the house built by other living entities. So here he says that similarly, a transcendentalist, he says, in the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that materialistic people, they take unlimited pains to invent and mass produce electricity, automobiles, etc. Ultimately, these things are meant for the convenience of the Vaishnavas who are preaching Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada went on a morning walk in Australia, and then there was like practically nobody was there. And he said, oh, these people worked hard to actually make this park, and we devotees are actually taking advantage of it. So we'll quickly read the 16th to 22nd verse. I will complete the 21st verse. We just go through the translation. Each one can read the different translation.
The Lord of the universe, Narayan, is the versatile God of all living entities. Without extraneous assistance, the Lord creates this universe by His own potency. And at the time of annihilation, the Lord destroys the universe through His personal expansion of time and withdraws all of the cosmos, including all the conditioned living entities within Himself. Thus, His unlimited Self is the shelter and reserve of all potencies. The Saval Pradhan, the basis of all cosmic manifestation, is conserved within the Lord and is in this way not different from Him. In the aftermath of annihilation, the Lord stands alone.
So basically, the next guru is from 16 to 21st. He is actually seeing the spider. And from the spider, what is the nature of the spider? Yeah. It creates its home from its own saliva and then actually withdraws it. So from that he learns how the Lord is actually creating everything from His own energy and maintaining everything, and then actually He Himself is only destroying.
Creation and annihilation.
So He is basically learning from the spider. So in these verses he is talking about Eko Narayana Deva, like Lord, the one Supreme Lord, Pur Swamaya, by his own energy he actually created everything, and then Samhritya Kala Kalaya, by his potency of time factor he destroys everything. Kalpanda, at the time of at the end of Kalpa, Eka Eva Advitiyo, he is one without a second, and Atma Daro Akilashraya, he is the shelter of everything and he is the reservoir of everything. And then 17th and 18th verse he talks about the nature of the Lord's form. In the sense he says that nature of the Lord's form is his complete bliss. He says that Lord, when the Lord brought his energies such as Sattva Guna, Sattva Adishu Adi Purusha, Lord by his energy of Sattva Guna, in this verse he essentially talks about annihilation, how the Lord annihilates, and then after annihilating he still remains after annihilation, even that neutral state after the annihilation he still remains, and he is still the Supreme Lord. And he says that how the nature of the Lord's form is complete bliss. So you can read the translation, 17th, 18th verse.
When the Supreme Personality of Godhead displays his own potency in the form of time and guides his material potency, such as the mode of goodness, into a neutral condition of equilibrium, he remains as the supreme controller of that neutral state, called Pradhan, as well as of the living entities. He is also the supreme worshipable object for all beings, including liberated souls, demigods and ordinary conditioned souls. The Lord is eternally free from any material designation, and he constitutes the totality of spiritual bliss, which one experiences by seeing the Lord's spiritual form. The Lord thus exhibits the fullest meaning of the word liberation.
So 17th and 18th verse he talks about how the Lord remains even after annihilation, and 19th verse he talks about the creation of the Lord, how he agitates the Prakriti and then he creates Mahat Tattva. And then 20th verse he says, and this Mahat Tattva is actually what it is composed of, it is a product of the three gunas, and this Mahat Tattva actually creates the universe with a great variety. And the whole universe is pervaded by the Mahat Tattva, and the living entity also takes birth. So he describes the creation in the 19th and 20th verse, and then the 21st verse he gives the example of the spider. We'll recite the 21st verse. Yator yator nanabir hridayat urnam santatya vaktrata taya vikritya bhuyastam grasas evam maheshwarah.
Just as from within himself, the spider is transferred to his mouth, plays with it for some time, and eventually sterilizes. Similarly, the Supreme Personal Godhead expands his personal potency from within himself. Because the Lord displays the network of cosmic intercession, realizes it according to his purpose, and eventually withdraws it completely within himself.
He is learning from the spider how the Lord creates and annihilates. So one who is intelligent obtains spiritual knowledge even from an insignificant creature like a spider. Thus transcendental knowledge is visible everywhere for one whose eyes are opened in Krishna consciousness. Very beautiful purport. Now 22nd and 23rd verse he gives the next lesson from the wasp, insect. So here he says that once a a particular insect or a stronger insect, it actually captured a weaker insect, and the weaker insect, when it was actually, or when the weaker insect was there in a particular place, the stronger insect entered that place, and the weaker insect, just out of fear of that stronger insect, it became absorbed out of fear of that stronger insect, and then because of absorption he became of the same species. In the sense that it is not that his body changed, the weaker insect, but because of the absorption in that stronger, like the another insect, the another species, when that insect actually left its body, then he took birth in that particular species. So similarly, what is the lesson? Whatever your mind gets absorbed in, you get that particular kind of form. Same thing, like when if you fix your mind on Krishna, you will get actually Krishna's form. So this is actually the lesson.
This example was cited earlier also in the sixth.
Yeah, this example, as anybody know where it is, example also comes previously. Where it is? Where does it come?
Jadbharat
section.
Hiranyaksha
and Hiranyaksha. Where exactly? Anybody knows?
Hiranyakashipu
preaches. This comes in the 7th canto, 1st chapter. When Parishit Maharaj is asking about why the Lord is partial, the time Narada Muni starts. Kushodaya Goswami quotes the conversation between Yudhishthira Maharaj and Narada Muni. And Yudhishthira Maharaj, after witnessing the death of Shishupal, Shishupal actually attained Sayujya Mukti. When Shishupal's soul entered in the body of Krishna, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked Narada Muni, how is it that the Lord is actually so impartial that he is giving that even to such a blasphemer? That time Narada Muni starts telling the story of the previous life story of Shishupal. So there he says this famous verse. What is that verse? Kamad, Veshad, Bayad, Snehad, Yata Bhakteshvare Manaha, Aveshya Tat Agam Hitva, Bhagavagas Tat Gatim Gata. Whether a person absorbs his mind out of lust, kama, dveshad, or hatred, or out of fear, or affection, a person actually becomes an associate of the Lord. Yata Bhakteshvare Manaha. There are many people who attain their spiritual bodies because of absorbing one's mind on Krishna, either out of lust or fear or hatred, etc. And then he gives example. Gopya Kama, gopis attain perfection out of lust. Bayat comes out of fear. Vesha Chaityadeva, Shishupal, out of hatred towards Krishna, he got absorbed. And Sambandhat Vrishnaya Snehat, the Vrishnis attain perfection out of affection. And you Pandavas attain perfection by bhakti. So then he concludes by saying, Tasmat Kena Pyupayena Mana Krishna Nishevayat. For somehow or other, one should actually fix the mind on Krishna. So basically the lesson from the wasp is that this particular wasp, out of fear of thinking about that particular stronger insect, when she left that body, it became that insect. So similarly, whatever we focus our mind on, we get that body. So we should mind and intelligence on. So Hridayananda Maharaj writes in the 23rd verse purport, he says that if a person fixes his mind on Krishna, even in this life a person becomes a liberated soul. And if a person fixes his mind on sense gratification, even in this life he becomes an animal. Practically like an animalistic soul, like that. In this life, a person becomes like an animal. And then, in the 24th verse he says that, now please listen as I explain what a... Finally, the last guru is that from his own body. So in this chapter, what all gurus we learned so far? First is hawk, kurara bird. Second is child. Third is unmarried girl, kumari. Fourth is arrow maker. And fifth is
snake.
And then spider. Six. And last is actually this. Seven. Wasp. Yeah, okay. Seventh guru, the wasp. Okay. but this is, I think, maybe 8th guru, some number in this one. But this is the last guru he is telling lesson from his own body. So, we just, I think this will take up for next week. I wanted to complete this chapter, but there are some important verses. It needs a little more emphasis on those verses. So anybody has any points?
Same thing comes from Brahma Sangha, already discussed that Vatsalya Moha Guru Gaurava Sevya Bhava. Is it very similar? That we can have that relationship with Supreme Lord.
Which one?
Right now. That,
the Vasp.
The consciousness that, how we discussed that, whatever, when Shishupal was having that, even the Vatsalya Moha means,
Yam krodha kama sakaja pranayadi bhiti vatsalya moha guru gaura sevya bhava. But the translation? I don't know.
I adore the Supreme Lord Govinda, the meditator of whom by meditating upon him under the sway of wrath, amorous passion, natural friendly love, fear, parental affection, delusion. Reverence and willing service. Attend to bodily forms befitting the nature of their contemplation.
Yeah, basically, but here in this particular verse it's explained, the emphasis is that even if a person absorbs his mind on Krishna out of negative emotion, because Krishna is completely transcendental, that what whoever actually focuses on him, Krishna actually completely purifies him. So the emphasis of Narada Muni is that if a person like Shishupal, in one class Radhana Swami Maharaj explained that like Shishupal, you know that how he was always blaspheming Krishna. So he said that Shishupal's envy towards Krishna, it is as incomprehensible as Gopi's love towards Krishna. So Gopi's love towards Krishna is, yeah, the topmost devotee is Ramya Kachi Prajavadu Vargena Yakalpita. It's the highest subject matter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. How it is incomprehensible, on the same level, Shishupa's envy towards Krishna is also incomprehensible. His envy was also so deep rooted. But because Krishna is such a person, whoever actually focuses on him, such a person gets liberation. So the emphasis of Narada Muni is like how much more a person will get if a person favorably fixes his mind on Krishna. So that is the point he says. How much more result if a person, how much more a person will actually fixes his mind on Krishna favorably, and how much more if a person fixes his mind on Krishna favorably in sadhana bhakti, and then how much more a person will get benefit if a person fixes his mind on Krishna in raganuga sadhana bhakti. So like that, he's indirectly he's talking about the glories of Rajavasi. So the emphasis is of Narada Muni is that not negative, this one has to actually somehow or other try to fix the mind on Krishna at least favorably.
He was giving a prevention. He told, you know, at the time of death, whatever you think, you become that. Whatever you think deeply, you become like that. Then at the end of the lecture, one small boy came up to him and told, okay, I am going to think of only Krishna, I am going to meditate only on Krishna. So I have to become Krishna in the next life. Then he said, I started, becoming conscious when I speak. I started saying, if you think anything apart from Krishna, you will become like that. But if you think of Krishna at the time of death, then you will attain the same planet as well. I mean, you will attain the kingdom of God. You know? So he said, how that boy, he gave a very good description.
so when we are
So I say again, try to emphasize that we have to, the main of this chapter is that, like, the whole section is that we have to take the initiative, trying to see everything in connection with the Lord. So we have to learn this lesson, we have to start applying that in our day-to-day life. So taking our own initiative and then trying to see everything in connection with the Lord. So this practice we should try to implement in our life, then it will help us. That's all. So next week, nine chapters, so who can take up nine chapters? Making multiple choice questions. So, can take. So I will send a format also. The same format, you can actually make multiple choice questions. So as I mentioned, the MCQs you have to make in a way that it appears similar, the choices, based on the translation and purport. And next week you will have the test on the whole Pingala chapter, 8 chapter.
Pingala chapter?
8 chapter. You will be sending some questions?
Questions? I will send a few questions and there will be questions outside also.
Okay, it will be like a brief explanation.